Mom, I'm telling you, it's all good. God is good. It can't be bad if it's God. And then ain't no confusion. Amen. Thank God the simplicity of it. The simplicity. Godless sincerity. Amen. I like that. Just be who you are in Christ Jesus. I can't be a Brother Billy. I tried that, brother. My old-time minister, Brother Riley, I thought, boy, I'd preach like him. And then my pastor, Brother Bobby, completely different. Lord, let me preach like him. He already had one of them. Over here in the book of Mark, chapter 4, and the 107th Psalm. I thought Brother Billy said something about last year if you hadn't or been able to come. And I thought, well, Lord, I better be prepared just in case, because whatever. I'll share with him last night. I just want to be here and worship with you. But, Lord, if I speak about anything, let me speak about something that I know about. And, boy, that song a while ago, Brother Mike. I know about the master of the sea. I've worked on it. I lived on it. It was my life. That's what we've done for a living, was worked on the water. So right here, and I remember when that troublous night, when I saw the lighthouse. Amen. The Bible said in verse 35 of the book of Mark, chapter 4, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. We're going across. Can I tell you that? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillar. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace. You remember when that come? Peace. Be still. Your soul was so troubled. But you remember August the 25th, 1983, I remember. Peace. Amen. Come to my soul. Amen. And the wind ceased. Amen. And there was a great calm. I still have that calm today. Amen. It was a peace that passed all understanding, guarding my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now you know why I enjoyed that song. Now back over in the 107th Psalm, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted, oh my God. Amen, because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then, you don't cry till it gets overwhelming. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses, and he maketh the storm calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad. That's what we're singing about today. That's what we're praising about today, what God has done for us. Amen. That first song we sung, amen. What great things he had done. Amen. That's why it stirs us up. Amen. Because he spoke peace to us and we were glad. Amen. Then they're glad because they be quiet. Whew. Ain't that good? So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men praise him for the Lord, for his goodness and his wonderful words to the children of men. The book of Daniel tells us that in the days of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the kingdoms of this world, that there shall be a God of heaven that's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. By the help and grace of God, thank you for the opportunity to preach to you the gospel in ships. The gospel in ships. The book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 2 said, he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and a hold of every foul spirit. Isn't it getting more wicked and evil today than you've ever seen? And a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And verse 4 said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her plagues. I told my wife, Brother Billy, if I got to run a little long, stick her hand up. She don't usually do that, but I told her what you told me. Amen. But we're crossing the sea of time. Amen. And the first time in history, the newly international distress signal was used was April the 14th, 1912, aboard the cruise ship Titanic. It was S-O-S, save our souls. The first time. The cruise ship, 14 years earlier, there was a book wrote by J. Morgan Robinson in 1898. He wrote a novel. The novel book was called Futility, meaning useless or Titan. 14 years later, the White Star Lines of England built a ship almost identical to J. Morgan Robinson's book. It was called The Futility. And 14 years later, this White Star Line built a ship and named it the Titanic, where we get the word Titan from. And almost the same identical size and the story of futility matched 14 years later. God has given us a word, the truth of where we at today. It's been preached. I've heard these preachers preaching it. I've tried to preach it. I've tried to warn. I've tried to tell people, you better get ready because you don't know what hour our Lord will come. Amen. But these people were aboard of what was expressed as the unsinkable ship, or the last word in luxury. There was the wealthiest wealthy of the people and all the way down to the paupers that were put aboard that ship. And they were all going across to the other side. But four nights out, this ship was 68,000 tons of metal, 850 feet long, 92 foot wide. From her keel to the top of her stack was 175 feet. Figure that up in stories and you'll find several. She was powered with 55,000 horsepower, could speed through the waters at 24 to 25 knots. She was going to make a record breaker to come to America. But in the cold, cold Pacific Ocean, carrying 2,235 people, 1,500 of them were lost. Only 732. I figured that, and this is what inspired this message to me several years ago because a preacher was preaching on it. Because when I went to churches and I saw how many they had on the roll, I saw that maybe there was about a third that would attend our Wednesday night and Sunday night services and some of the other things. And that alerted me, and I went for the first time and got some books out of the library in Wakulla County, and it was about the Titanic. So I read, and that's how I have this. But on April the 10th, this same ship that J. Morgan Robinson wrote about four nights later, left, amen, the port at 11:40 that night. She hit an iceberg. And in 2 hours and 40 minutes, 2:20 in the morning, she sunk to the bottom of the frigid waters of the Atlantic. Now, here's what I want you to hear. She was warned by the Corona, the Baltic, the America, the Mesaba, and the California. We're warning people every day, come out from amongst this world. She's going down. There's one destroying everything that's coming along. You may push the fist up in God's face and say, we'll same-sex marriage if we get ready. We'll make a law. We'll kill that baby in the womb. We'll do that because we can do what we're building a tower, amen, and it's going to defy very God. The Bible said God sits in heaven and laughs. He's not interested. I love that song I heard the other night. He's still in command. Amen. Though my little ship may be jumping about, he's still in command. But along the journey, the Bible says in 1 Peter how we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and draw nigh to him, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Because he said we need to be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. You know how faith comes, by hearing, hearing by the word. That's our victory that overcomes. Amen. Because of the same afflictions that you and I are facing, everybody else in the religious realm is facing. Praise God. You and I have a real enemy out there, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We ought to thank God for it, that we don't have to stay in these bodies no longer. Amen. I did when my mama, 92 years old, 2 years ago after COVID, I praised God when she told me, son, I see some gates. Help me get them open. I said, Mama, I can't help you now, but they're going to open in just a few minutes. Praise God. It wasn't but just a few minutes. My mama went to glory. Heaven sounded sweeter today because I got a mama over there. Amen. And I thank God for it. Amen. On the night of February the 2nd, 1943, there was an American transport ship named the Dorchester. She was streaming through the same North Atlantic from Newfoundland to an American base in Greenland. She was carrying 902 passengers. Amen. They were servicemen, merchant seamen, and civilian workers. And shortly before 1 a.m., she was struck by a German torpedo, killing 672 men. You have a real enemy out there. But thank God, amen, you still got the men and the women of God praising God, worshiping God, singing for the Lord, preaching us the good messages. Amen. But one survivor told the story. The aboard that ship was George L. Fox. He was a Methodist chaplain. Aboard that ship was Alexander Goode. He was a Jewish chaplain. Aboard that ship was John P. Washington. He was a Roman Catholic chaplain. Aboard that ship was Clark V. Poling, a Dutch reformist. Chaplain. Now, this is what one of the survivors said. I want you to listen very closely, because that's what we're trying to do today, is encourage the frightened. We're trying to and praying for the dying, and we're trying to guide the disoriented to the lifeboats. Amen. I want you to get on the lifeboat today. Amen. Oh, praise God. It said, floating among the dead, William Bettner said, his comrades said, the chaplains who gave their life jackets to the four frightened men said, hope came from the chaplains encouraging the frightened and praying for the dying and guiding the disoriented to the lifeboats, gave their life jackets to the, and I can't give you, amen, what I have today in salvation. I can tell you about it. It's up to you if you're out yonder listening to us on whatever, amen. I can tell you, God wants you to offload, amen, and give him your life, because you're not going to be able to take, amen, these things with you. The Bible says, amen. Am I right about to run out of time, baby? Am I good? Amen. In chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, he said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. Amen. We let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of it. He's the one started it. He's the one going to complete it. He's the one provided everything you needed for this journey that pertains to life and godliness. He's the one that's still in command. He's still in control. He's still the lighthouse, praise God. And listen, I like this right here. For the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was at this, endured the cross. You can endure these things we're going through if you'll keep your eye on the prize. I heard that from Brother Rusty this morning. Amen. He kind of got his eyes off of the Lord and put it on men. But when he heard a message one morning from old Brother Bobby, amen, he come out of that place. Praise God. God raised him up. Amen. Oh, but despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the power of God. Amen. August the 10th, 1628 was a dark day in naval history. On that day, a royal warship called the Vasa set out on her maiden voyage. Listen now, after taking 2 years to build, being lavishly decorated and holding 64 cannons, she was the pride of the Swedish Navy, sank 1 mile out to sea. What was wrong? She was too top heavy. She was carrying too much weight. My daddy would tell me when we would go out crabbing and the crabs would be running good and we'd be catching 2,500, maybe 3,000 pounds. He said, son, be careful. Don't you overload that boat. Bunch, they'll push it over. Oh, I want to tell you, I understood clearly when I read this. I want to tell you what we need to be like. We need to be like Cheerios. You ever tried to sink them? We need to be like Cheerios. You can't sink them. They keep coming up. Amen. Don't matter what you throw at me. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Praise God. Amen. And can I tell you, amen, I want us to be like Cheerios when we leave here. Come up out of whatever you're in. Praise God. Get us up. Encourage us, Lord. Amen. That's what we're asking for this week. I've asked God. Amen. I might not be a big soul winner, but God, let me encourage my brothers and sisters. Let me be a Barnabas, Lord. Let me take them little John Marks and let me tell them how Jesus can help them along the journey. Amen. Because we're not ever one, amen, the mouth, and we're not ever one the eye. We're part of the body of Christ, but you've got something you can fulfill for Jesus' sake. Amen. I heard this man preaching this morning talking about godly sincerity. There was two men made shipwreck over here in the book of Timothy. Apostle Paul said one was Hymenaeus and one was Alexander. And he delivered them unto Satan that they would learn not to blaspheme. What happened to them? They was not holding faith and a good conscience. They had defiled their conscience. Amen. They was not holding their faith toward God in a right manner. Oh, listen, out here among us, Jesus said it. There's going to be deceitful work. There are going to be those that come along saying, I'm the Christ. There are going to be those out there, amen, it's going to be false Christ. And it's just going to multiply in the end. Amen. That's why he said, but what I do, he said, I will do that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we, for such are false apostles, a deceitful worker, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, if no great thing, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. January 13, 2012, a ship called the Costa Concordia, a cruise ship, left out of Italy. She was dubbed the Titanic of the 21st century. Aboard was newlyweds, retirees, graduates, and sightseers. 2 hours off the west coast of Italy, some were eating seven-course meals. Some were entertained by comedians. Does that typify the world around us today? Some were watching dramas on the Silver Queen screen. Even Celine Dion's song, "My Heart Will Go On." I'm going to tell you, there ain't no heart going on without Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the book of Psalms tells us in 22 and 26. He said, my heart will live on. I know my heart will. Amen. Brother, I know mine will. Amen. Because August the 25th, 1983, I got a recharge. Amen. I got it. You know, I appreciate that brother last night telling about how it just washed out. Brother, I used to say it's in the depths of the sea. Thank God it ain't in the depths of the sea. I had a charge against me, amen, and my sheriff down there told me, amen, when I went to get my boy's guns, and they wouldn't let me have them, and said, you got a charge against you. We need to get that expunged. Right. What does that mean? Wash it out. Yep. They can't find that no more. Amen. They can't find that no more. He said, son, he said, you'd have been up yonder in Maryland somewhere preaching on the street or somewhere up. I've been there. I've been up in New York working on some Sunday school classrooms up there. Amen. If you'd have been up there and they got stopped, they'd have put you in jail and we'd have had a time getting you back down here. He helped me get it expunged. But I have one that got my sin expunged. Hallelujah. Got it washed out. Amen. It ain't in the depths. It's forever gone. Hallelujah. Never to remember against me anymore. But about the time passengers felt a jolt, lights went out. I'm telling you, I like to use this and share it with the church, brother. Amen. I'd get one of my daddy's piece of nets when he'd cut them out, and I'd put them outside, brother, and I'd stake it down. We had blackbirds, they just covey down. And that's one of the things I'd done as a young'un. Amen. And I'd put a little trap door in it, and I'd put me a lot of bread on the inside. Lot of bread, and I'd run some of it out here, and then birds would swoop down, and boy, they'd start going in there. Amen. But when that got in there so thick, they'd start trying to come back out, I pulled the trap door. That's what I see the governments are doing in this world today. They fixing to pull the trap door, and pandemonium is going to set in. Worse than it is now. You may think it's bad now, but when they pull these checks back and say, you go to the farm, you go this way and you go that way, I'm telling you, pandemonium is going to set in like you ain't never seen it if you get to live to see it. Amen. Oh, but listen, I think about it. This captain, Francesco Schettino, amen, he was sailing just a little bit too close. It was proved he got 16 years in prison for what he'd done, but he was supposedly was given the excuse that he was giving his passengers a good view or either to salute other mariners, which the truth of the matter probably was he had a Moravian dancer. Now, you can check this all on Google. They know everything. And if you don't, I got a couple of people at home can tell you the rest. Amen. But when they began to question, amen, he finally admitted to an affair. But why he run that ship into a reef, a skull, it was called Skull Reef, was beyond the imagination of captains of great ships like this. Now, the captain announces, as the people began to stir up, all is well. Remain seated. Everything's fine. Ain't you hearing that today? Huh? Peace, peace. Sudden destruction comes. But the captain responded as they called from the port authorities. People had their phone, and they called from the port authorities. This is what he said. No problem. No problem. 32 people died of sheer neglect from a false captain? How many are going to die and go to hell because of the false Christ and the false doctrine that's going on out there? Amen. I can tell you, I don't know. But when I read this scripture, and I know I've been out there before, amen, I'm going to share that with you. I'm getting ready to close, brother. Amen. But the little ships, I'm going back to my original text. Amen. There were some other little ships. I want you to get your mind on that right now for just a little bit, because this is where the Lord quickened me one night. I was sitting back there in my study and trying to get ready for service, and the Lord said, son, there were other little ships along with the big ship that the disciples were on. Now, I want you to understand the pandemonium that the disciples were in. The ship was taking on water. Amen. And they began to wake Jesus up and say, don't you care that we perish? Now, I want you to think about those little ships, huh? They were on the big ship. Amen. There's some people out there listening to us today. Maybe some in here. That's a little ship. Amen. My Uncle Gilly had about a 50-foot called a Silver Queen. We would crab. Amen. And us boys had a 22-foot, what we call skiff boats. But those summer squalls would build up off of us out there. But Brother Billy, when they would build up, amen, we'd head to my Uncle Gilly. Amen. And we'd get over there to my Uncle Gilly, and we tied them little boats off on that big boat. Amen. And that's what this got to kind of remind me. And we'd sit over there and eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and banana and mayonnaise. You ever had a banana and mayonnaise sandwich? Amen. We'd sit over there, maybe some egg and cheese, if somebody had a little money. Amen. But we would be sitting there and we'd be just having us a great time while that storm was blowing over. And when it got over, we'd get back on our boat and we'd go back to work. A lot of reasons you can shipwreck out there. Hymenaeus and Alexander wasn't the only one. I anchored off one time. I was very tired, brother. I anchored off in a place we call Mud Cove. By morning, I knew I was so tired, I knew something wasn't right. Yeah, have you ever just felt in your spirit something wasn't right? And by morning, I felt my boat as it hit on the shore. Oh, God, I jumped up and tried to get it turned back off, messed the rudder up, bust a hole in the boat. And it said, never forget what my daddy said when he come down there. He said, son, don't you know you can't anchor in Mud Cove? It's mud. You got to have a rock. You got to have a rock. I thank God my soul is anchored in the rock of Jesus. Amen. And I'm glad I got plenty of anchor rope faith. Amen. To trust God in this evil day. Putting on the whole armor of God. I'm glad, thank God. Every time it surges back, I got enough rope. It just jerks me right back just a little further. And I thank God for it. Amen. But it hadn't been too many years ago. Amen. The Corps of Engineers paid a man by the name of Jack Hayes to plow through what we call Alligator Harbor and gonna put a channel through there and make it closer to the marina. My daddy looked at Jack one night and he said, Jack, don't you know the first storm's gonna wash all that back out? He said, yes, sir. Pete, I know that. He said, but you know, the Corps of Engineers is going to pay somebody to put that in. And I just as well be the somebody. Some will take anything, won't they? I just as well be the one to put it in. The first, hey, it was staked out, red markers, green markers, lights. I mean, it was nice. It was right there at the harbor. Amen. And bring it right into the marina. Amen. But the first storm we had, brother, washed all that sand back out there, and some of the finest yachts you ever seen bankheaded right up there on the hill because somebody would go ahead, amen, and put something in the way. Amen. The devil's out there trying to throw stumbling blocks in every way he can. I'm telling you, get on up. Be like a Cheerio. Get on up. Amen. Stay in the old path. Don't worry about trying to get up some newfangled way. We need to stay in the way that's straight. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. And listen, he don't have to steal the storm. He just simply needs to steal me. Amen. And let me stand on that steady rock. Amen. I got to share one more. story with you, brother. I could share Paul's, but I'm going to tell you what Paul said. Except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. That's what he told them. Except you abide in the ship, fixing to throw the lifeboats over. Abraham's going to get in them. But he said, except you abide. He already knew what they were going to do. Some people jumping a ship today. You need to stay on board. Praise God. Be like the Cheerio. Amen. Get up. We had an elder, a preacher there in Carabel, Florida. He had a little church. Maybe sometime seven. I heard the brother last night. Seven, eight, 10 people. Amen. I've been there before. Heard him preach two messages. I'm fixing to share just a little bit of one. The other one was, if the righteous scarce to make it, where the sinner and ungodly appear. But Brother Harley was a grouper and snapper fisherman with his family. He was a very calm and simple man. He's off out shore finishing a trip up. And when you finish a trip up and you're 80 or 90 miles offshore with an old grouper boat that won't make 4 miles or 4 knots per hour, you done about spent your fuel down. But he starts coming in, he and his brother, and they run into a storm. The brother's holding the wheel. He let Harley run the wheel for a while. And after long hours, he said, Harley, go back and check our fuel. Now, you don't work on that, probably never been, don't even been around it. But old boats like that didn't have these gas meters or whatever, amen. And we had a stick that would go all the way down to the bottom of that tank, and it would have 3 rings on it, carved out with a knife. That first one down there meant you had a quarter of a tank. That second one meant you had a half. The third one meant you had 3/4. Didn't have to put one for the top. You ought to figure that one out. Amen. You was full. But when Brother Harley's brother said to him, Harley, go back and check the fuel. He went back and checked the fuel. And down below that second one, which gave him just a little over 1/4 of a tank of fuel, is where it was. So as they run hours on, he said to him, Harley, go back and check the fuel. He went back and checked the fuel, and he told him, he said, it's just down just a little bit past that bottom one. So that means he ain't got 1/4 of a tank now. He's on his way in from a several-day trip. He's about out of fuel. Harley, hold the wheel. Let me go down in the cabin. He went down there and he pulled his charts out. He come back up, and this is what he said. Harley, we on the wrong course, and we running out of fuel. Change course. That's my message to you today. I don't care if you're not going with Jesus. You're on the wrong course. You need to change. Your fuel's running low. Amen. You need to change course. And if we ever have a need, amen, to use that international, amen, distress signal again, save our souls, it would be today. We need to say, God, save our soul. Them little ships out there, amen, you can get tied on. You can get ready, amen, to meet Jesus. And that's all I can share with you. Amen. I thank God immediately. The ship was on the other side. Peace, calm. That's how long it took him for me, and it's still there today. And I thank God for it, Brother Billy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.